ประมาณยวาสิธามัตติภาควัติอาตมาสังสัยนิวริตตาจีวภาติตวัตชีนะคลิชาปตะนิวริติบรัมมณีเอ็นบรัมมันอาวาสิตาsituated mati her mind bhagavati in the supreme personality of godhead atma sanshaye residing in all living entities nivritta freed jiva of the jiva soul apatitvat from the unfortunate condition, shina, disappeared, klesha, material pangs, apta, obtained, nivritti, transcendental bliss. Translation: her mind became completely engaged in the Supreme Lord, and she automatically realized a knowledge of the impersonal Brahman. As a Brahman realized soul, she was freed from the designations of the materialistic concept of life. Thus, all material pangs disappeared and she attained transcendental bliss. Please repeat. Her mind became completely engaged in the Supreme Lord, and she automatically realized the knowledge of the impersonal Brahman. As a Brahman realized soul, she was freed from the designations of the materialistic concept of life. Thus, all material pangs disappeared, and she attained transcendental bliss. Purport by Zwangri S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The previous verse states that Devahuti was already conversant with the absolute truth. It may be questioned why she was meditating. The explanation is that when one theoretically discusses the absolute truth, he becomes situated in the impersonal concept of the absolute truth. Similarly, when one seriously discusses the subject matter of the form, qualities, pastimes, and entourage of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he becomes situated in meditation on Him. If one has complete knowledge of the Supreme Lord, then knowledge of the impersonal Brahman is automatically realized. The absolute truth is realized by the knower according to three different angles of vision, namely impersonal Brahman, localized supersoul, and ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one is situated, therefore, in knowledge of the Supreme Person, this implies that one is already situated in the concept of the supersoul and impersonal Brahman. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said, Rama Bhuta Prashanatmana. This means that unless one is freed from the material entanglements and situated in Brahman, there is no question of entering into the understanding of devotional service or engaging in Krishna consciousness. One who is engaged in devotional service to Krishna is understood to be already realized in the Brahman concept of life, because transcendental knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead includes knowledge of Brahman. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Brahmano hi patistaham. The concept of the Personality of Godhead does not depend on Brahman. The Vishnu Purana also confirms that one who has taken shelter of the all-auspicious Supreme Lord is already situated in the understanding of Brahman. In other words, one who is a Vaishnava is already a Brahmana. Another significant point of this verse is that one has to observe the prescribed rules and regulations as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Yuktahara viharasya. When one engages in devotional service in Krishna consciousness, he still has to eat, sleep, defend and mate, because these are necessities of the body. But he performs such activities in a regulated way. He has to eat Krishna prasad. He has to sleep according to regulated principles. The principle is to reduce the duration of sleep and to reduce eating, taking only what is needed to keep the body fit. In short, the goal is spiritual advancement, not sense gratification. Similarly, sex life must be reduced. Sex life is meant only for begetting Krishna conscious children. Otherwise, there is no necessity for sex life. Nothing is prohibited, but everything is made yukta, regulated, with the higher purpose always in mind. By following all these rules and regulations of living, one becomes purified, and all the misconceptions due to ignorance become nil. It is especially mentioned here that the cause of material entanglement are completely vanquished. The Sanskrit statement anatta nivritti indicates that this body is unwanted. We are spirit soul, and there was never any need of this material body. But because we wanted to enjoy the material body, we have this body. And through the material energy, under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as soon as we are re-established in our original position of servitorship to the Supreme Lord, we begin to forget the necessities of the body, and at last we forget the body. Sometimes in a dream, we get a particular type of body with which to work in the dream. I may dream that I am flying in the sky, or that I have gone into the forest or some unknown place. But as soon as I am awake, I forget all these bodies. Similarly, when one is Krishna conscious, fully devoted, he forgets all his changes of body. We are always changing bodies, beginning at birth from the womb of our mother. And when we are awakened in Krishna consciousness, awakened to Krishna consciousness, we forget all these bodies. The bodily necessities become secondary, for the primary necessity is the engagement of the soul in real spiritual life. The activities of devotional service in full Krishna consciousness are the cause of our being situated in transcendence. The words Bhagavatyatma Shamsahi denote the personality of Godhead as the supreme soul, or the soul of everyone. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Bijam mam sarvabhutanam, and the seed of all entities. By taking shelter of the supreme being, by the process of devotional service, one becomes fully situated in the concept of the personality of Godhead. As described by Kapila, Matguna Shuti Matrena, one who is fully Krishna conscious, situated in the personality of Godhead, is immediately saturated with love of God, as soon as he hears about the transcendental qualities of the Lord. Devahuti was fully instructed by her son Kapiladev on how to concentrate her mind on the form of Vishnu in full detail. Following the instruction of her son in the matter of devotional service, she contemplated the form of the Lord within herself with great devotional love. That is the perfection of Brahman realization, or the mystic yoga system of devotional service. At the ultimate issue, when one is fully absorbed in thoughts of the Supreme Lord and meditates on him constantly, that is the highest perfection. Bhagavad Gita confirms that one who is always absorbed in such a way is to be considered the topmost yogi. The real purpose of all processes of transcendental realization, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, or bhakti yoga, is to arrive at the point of devotional service. If one endeavors simply to achieve knowledge of the absolute truth or the super soul, but has no devotional service, he labors without gaining the real result. This is compared to beating the husks of wheat after the grains have already been removed. Unless one understands the Supreme Personality of Godhead to be the ultimate goal, it is valueless simply to speculate or perform mystic yoga practice. In the Ashtanga Yoga system, the seventh stage of perfection is dhyana. This dhyana is the third stage in devotional service. There are 9 stages of devotional service. The first is hearing, and then comes chanting, and then contemplating. By executing devotional service, therefore, one automatically becomes an expert jnani and an expert yogi. In other words, jnana and yoga are different preliminary stages of devotional service. Devahuti was expert in accepting the real substance. She contemplated the form of Vishnu in detail as advised by her smiling son, Kapiladev. At the same time, she was thinking of Kapiladev, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore she completely perfected her austerities, penances, and transcendental realization. And Om Gyanam Tirandasya Gyanam Shalakaya Chakshul Namitam Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivasari Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So continuing the almost at the end of the pastimes of Kapiladev, here we read the perfection of Devahuti, how she perfected her existence by coming to this stage of samadhi, trance, meditation on the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's we're reading from sloka 23 also. There's no purport to the previous slokas. So text 23 was, thereafter, having heard with great eagerness and in all detail from her son Kapiladev, the eternal smiling personality of Godhead, Devahuti began to meditate constantly upon the Vishnu form of the Supreme Lord. 24-25. She did so with serious engagement in devotional service. Because she was strong in renunciation, she accepted only the necessities of the body. She became situated in knowledge due to realization of the absolute truth. Her heart became purified. She became fully absorbed in meditation upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and all misgivings due to the modes of material nature disappeared. Her mind became completely engaged in the Supreme Lord, and she automatically realized knowledge of the impersonal Brahman. As a Brahman-realized soul, she was freed from the designations of the materialistic concept of life. Thus, all material pangs disappeared, and she attained transcendental bliss. So we see by the example of Devahuti, who by good training, good association, good birth, she made the right choice. The Krishna consciousness means making a choice of your own free will. Like in the preliminary stages, we make a choice by faith that there's in something more sublime. As Prabhupada mentions, these 9 processes of devotional service. Shravanam, Kirtanam, and also the different stages of devotional service that we pass through, from starting from faith, sadhusanga, then the chanting bhajana kriya comes, and it goes gradually like that, because in the beginning the faith may not be obviously very strong, so therefore we accept this practice. No such thing as practice of Krishna consciousness. In fact, one is Krishna conscious or not Krishna conscious. So what we call this Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, this is the practice, so-called practice of Krishna consciousness. It means because we don't have spontaneous, the mind is spontaneously not flowing towards the personality of Godhead, then we engage in, we forcibly engage our senses in the methods which are prescribed, the best methods prescribed here in the scriptures through the acharyas, that are most conducive to developing that Krishna consciousness. But in the ultimate issue, one has to make that choice that to be Krishna conscious. always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. Accept what's favorable for Krishna, reject what's unfavorable for Krishna. This is the essence of the practice of Krishna consciousness, essence of the rules and regulations. They're meant to serve this purpose, to come to bring us to this point of always remembering Krishna. That's the condensed verse. Say yes to Krishna, no to Maya. Y2K, we heard so much about Y2K a few years ago. Yes to Krishna, that actually means no to Maya. NTM is a new one. Yes to Krishna. But one has to make, in the beginning we're saying yes to the process of Krishna consciousness, that this will help us achieve Krishna. But actually it's direct. Krishna consciousness is not a process in as much as Krishna consciousness means this particular moment right now. Krishna consciousness is an experience, a transcendental experience of the spiritual reality. So, and that has to be experienced at this particular moment right now. It can't be experienced in the future. It's an experience, you see. So if we take this practice as a practice, the process of devotional service, if we accept it as a practice that will bring us to the goal, it's okay. But you won't actually achieve the goal by the goal has to be achieved by actually acceptance. Am I making sense? If we're using the practice of the Krishna consciousness as a means to achieve the goal, then we're living in the future, right? If I do this right, if I chant very attentively, and then if I do this, follow my sadhana perfectly, then I will become Krishna conscious, which will work. This is a process. But the actual Krishna consciousness means the experience of Krishna consciousness, and that experience happens in the present moment. So the consciousness should be on the actual present moment, what you're actually doing. You should be, even if you take it as a practice, then you should be absorbed in that practice, because then it doesn't become a practice anymore. You're actually being absorbed in the service itself. But if you're mindful of this is the practice of devotional service that will purify me, that will elevate me, then you're looking at it subjectively. You're not actually absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So although you're going to the activities of Krishna consciousness, which are actually liberated activities, but the mind is not there at the same time. You're seeing it as a tool to achieve something else. But what else is there to achieve? Devotional service. That's all that goes on in the spiritual world. And that's the only reality, is devotional service to Krishna. So we have that devotional service to Krishna. So while we're performing that, we should be absorbed in that service, because that's the actual perfection. That's the perfectional stage we want to come to. The process and the goal are actually the same. It's very subtle, and one has to have blessings to actually do that. One needs the blessings of the Lord in any circumstance. One needs, even in the very preliminary stage, one needs the blessings of the Lord whichever way it comes, the blessings come to evoke our faith, to rekindle that faith, that we actually take a step towards practicing devotional service. Otherwise, everything depends on faith, isn't it? There has to be a good reason for doing it, you see. There has to be some faith in that we will achieve something. So everything is dependent on that, on that faith. And he said that the faith increases and increases and increases till it becomes unshakable faith, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God, I am His eternal servant, thus. And after all the questions have been asked and the answers have been given and the austerities have been done and the holy places have been visited and you've been there, done that, then you can... What is it at the end of the road? It's you and your service to Krishna. So therefore, we do that, and we have the proper association. So you need actually the adhikar to. This gives us the adhikar. Well, we need to, the practice of Krishna consciousness gives us the adhikar, because we're not fit. we're not proper recipients to experience the Lord's mercy right now. Just about hearing that I am the eternal servant of Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Let me engage in His service. But, you know, where is Krishna? Why isn't the heart melting? Yeah, there's all these descriptions there. Why isn't the body trembling, tears coming to the eyes when you hear this? You become stunned on hearing Krishna's name, and as soon as you, Prabhupada mentions here, as soon as you hear about the Supreme Lord, then you become, what's the word? Can't remember. Saturated with transcendental bliss, transcendental love of Krishna. It's not happening, as it's written in the book. It means we don't have the proper adhika, we don't have the proper qualification. That Krishna is going to reciprocate according to our degree of actual surrender to Him, and our desire to actually serve Him. It's that choice. Because that's the freedom, that's our free will, that's how the ego is based around that choice. That's all we have, is actually choice. So what will inspire that choice? So if we're fortunate, just like we're fortunate, our choice has been inspired by Krishna's mercy, somehow or other, we're all here, somehow or other, however Krishna's mercy appeared to us, we're here, we made that conscious choice. So that's what we call God's mercy. so if we can stick to the process, then this is the example here is given by Devahuti, who followed the process very sincerely. She wanted to do it. She's very sincere, determined, and she did, and she attained success. So that's why these narrations are here, to give us the examples. We need this. Srila Prabhupada mentions here in this purport, he's quoted Bhagavad Gita 3 or 4 times here. He's quoting this from Brahma Bhuta Prasatana. Srila Prabhupada says, unless one is free from material entanglement and situated in Brahman, there's no question of entering into the understanding of devotional service or engaging in Krishna consciousness. That means, unless you're free from material entanglement, that's the adhika, that's the perfection that you want, to become free from material entanglement. That's the perfection of the yogis, many of the yogis who don't meditate on the super soul, and the gyanis who want to become one with the Lord, or want to become free from the dualities of the material world. That is their perfection. But in any case, we also want that, but we want something more than that. We want to be with, it doesn't stop there. It actually, real life begins there at the point of liberation, when one is actually free from the modes of material nature. And we're all affected by the modes of material nature, but by practice of this process, in good association, one can actually become freed from this entanglement. Means one has to come, first of all, one should develop the mode of goodness. It's much more conducive, much less violence. most of the whole world is in the mode of passion now. And we read about the activities in the those in the mode, or the effects of those in the mode of modes of nature. As Arjuna asked Krishna that question in the Bhagavad Gita, Shastra Vidim Ustujya, what is the result of the person who disregards spiritual injunction? It's in that very short chapter, the modes of nature, and acts according to his own whims. Then Krishna tells him, then he's just bound by the different modes of nature that he's in, and he just goes along with that. Because according to your association and according to your training, and that means according to the modes that you're affiliated with or affected by, then that's going to create your own values, right? And there are different examples given in that chapter. But we see now, we see from, you know, the different, you go to different societies or different kinds of people in the world, and you go to pious, very pious family, and see how they live, what their values are, and their lifestyle is different. Then you go to someone who's, you know, more in the mode of passion, like, you know, most people today, what are their values is to, you know, work hard to achieve something, to be somebody, to get this, to get staff, to get recognized. This is a goal, mostly the goal of modern civilization. And those in the mode of ignorance, that class of people, not very high class people, they're interested in, you know, getting some money somehow, then just get out and enjoying, right? That's they're very, not very broad minded. So they're like three different worlds that you're living in. The consciousness is whatever you're affected by, that particular mode, then you're going to set your values. This is what you value in life. Right? And then that's going to... So it's recommended that you come free from it. And it says, come to the mode of goodness, it's better. It's less violent, it's less turbulent. You'll be more broad-minded, you'll be more peaceful, you can think more clearly. It's much easier transition to... Otherwise, if those who preach, you go out and you're speaking to someone in the mode of ignorance, they look at you like, and they, what are you talking about? You know, you're talking about these Krishna consciousness. It just doesn't go in at all, because why on earth would somebody want to do that? First, their value, what you have to give up. Whether you talk about the goal, that's fine, that's great, you know, but then what? The price you have to pay for it, or the things you have to give up, and not you have to say no to Maya, then, you know, they don't have that much faith to give up. To give up our goals, my goal of happiness, which is sense gratification, to give up that on because you told me something. So that is very difficult. It's actually a very difficult thing to do because of the conditioning. So it's like that. So the Prabhupada mentions here, it's like in the dream. You're in the dream, and you're just absorbed in that dream world. Until you wake up, then you realize. So it's like that. Whatever particular mode you're in, you're going to be affected by. So we take to the practice, but there also should be that desire to be like Devi Hudish. You had this desire to be. A desire to be Krishna conscious. She did so with serious engagement in devotional service, because she was strong in renunciation. Remember, she already lived a life of renunciation in the beginning of her marriage. Accepting only the necessities of the body, and due to realization of the absolute truth, the heart became purified. So that is this is a gradual process. As one engages in the devotional service, only accepting activities in Krishna consciousness and rejecting activities which are unfavorable, then naturally that is a cleaning process. You're not accepting unfavorable processes, unfavorable activities or thoughts which are anarthas actually. So there's no more covering on the heart. At the same time, you're performing these activities which are actually transcendental. The activities we're performing is a liberated platform. The consciousness may be not be liberated, but the activities are the actually liberated platform. So we're not putting any coverings on the heart. At the same time, we're getting a new set of values are being developed. A new person is being developed. A whole new consciousness is actually being developed there, according to our desire. And the also because we're dealing with the devotional service, which is not different from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we're contacting him. This is also an extra bonus purification, which will actually speed the process. It will actually burn the seeds of karma, which haven't even come, so we don't have to worry about those. So it's a very dynamic process, because the Lord is, we're dealing directly with the Lord. Prabhupada's example is, if there's stool in the street, it's just a question, if the sun is shining on it, it's just a question of time. Because it's in the sun will evaporate all the moisture, and the wind will come and blow it, and eventually that place becomes pure again. Because it's just because of the presence of the sun. So it's our process. We constantly keep ourselves in the presence of Krishna through his name, fame, quality, form, pastimes, devotees, service, everything, all those things. Constantly do that, and that does the trick itself. But over and above that, if you want to go quickly, then you should become very serious. If you want to become a pure devotee, you have to become very serious about, you know, saying yes to Krishna and no to Maya. And you've got to really want it. And ultimately that choice is that ultimately you're gonna make that choice. I just want Krishna, I don't want that. And it's just a question of actually making up your mind and sticking to it. It doesn't always work the first time, but when you, or the second or the third, but you just make up your mind that that's it. You know, why should I struggle with all these things anymore? Because of the knowledge that you get, the purification you get, you know that those activities that we perform, which are not favorable for Krishna consciousness, they just cause us trouble. You've actually experienced it. It causes you trouble, fear, anxiety. Practically anything you do which is outside of Krishna consciousness, you know, guilt and all those, it's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. And then you actually surrender to them, give them up. In other words, then you become disentangled. When you make that choice, that's it, I'm finished, I've had enough of the material world, that means you become disentangled. Immediately if you're not entangled in the material world, where are you? What is the situation? It's only the modes of material nature that are going on here, and outside of that it is spiritual. So if you're not entangled in that, make that choice, I'm finished with it, I just don't care, you know, I've had enough. Tried it never works, I've had enough. Then you consciously make that choice, you really want to, I'm just going to do it, and just do it. Then immediately you're actually in transcendental position. That's it. Then your consciousness is actually liberated. And then you can actually advance to the, like Prabhupada mentions here, the eighth state, or what it was in Ashtanga Yoga. This meditation, absorption, what's it called? Dhyan. Yeah. And then the next, then it's Samadhi. So this is the third stage that we practice, that meditation is smaranam, remembering Krishna. But that's only the third stage. Then we got another seven stages. They got one more stage, that's the ecstasy they feel, that freedom they feel. But devotional service actually goes on another six more stages after that. And it's dynamic. It's not just static. It's ecstatic. And the different stages are different densities of that ecstasy. Up to, you know, ashakti bhava prema. So pure devotional service begins at that point of liberation. But the point is, unless you're actually disentangled, if you're not disentangled, it means you're attached. What's entangling you? Maya doesn't throw rope around you and tie you up. She's not doing that. We're consciously projecting ourselves onto Maya. She's just making a display in front of us. She's appearing to us through the mediums of the material energy, sound, touch, etc., colors and memories, all these subtle things. And we're making that choice to, yes, that's nice, I like that. Here's happiness, here's protection. We're doing it. So she's not actually entangling us like that. So we heard yesterday, you're tied up by a rope, an invisible rope, or here in the Bhagavad Gita it says they're shackled by the chains of sex life. In the material world, everyone is shackled by this desire to enjoy the material world. It's simply that desire that is keeping you attached here, desire to enjoy it. And it just ends in misery. The enjoyment is flickering, and then you have so much anxiety, so much endeavor to get that. As a result of that, you're a little flickering happiness, then again back again, then you have to start again, and you want something more, and it's just a hard endeavor. And the result is it brings you back in the material world, and you get another body to try and do it again, prove it can be done again. This is Maya. So that unless you voluntarily say no, then we're still going to be affected, because Maya's all attractive. Krishna's better. Krishna's more attractive. But if you're not remembering Krishna, then Maya's all attractive, right? Sense gratification is fantastic, fantastic. And as soon as you give that up and go to Krishna, that's fantastic. And as soon as either one is fantastic, you know, the experience is fantastic, you see. So what to do? So now, by the proper association and training, then we can understand.